Evening, my friend.
Good evening, you can send it out.
I listened with much interest on your talk about your meditation.
I hope I was right in what I said. You can amplify it, we'd appreciate it.
Yes, you must begin somewhere. Yes, it is an exercise which must be done if you wish to raise that consciousness to that which is your very selves. I would say to you, it is a very individual thing.
Right.
You cannot be guided by another. Only in the elementary stages. But I say to you all, find that element which you find is love and focus upon that area. It may be, as you have spoken upon, beautiful singing, if that is your heart's desire. Many have found the peace and stillness within the background of beautiful music. Others, this would be too intrusive. So I say to you all, find that quietness and stillness which suits you best. Sometimes it is better to say, focus your attentions upon the flame of a candle. This serves more than one purpose. With this exercise, I can say to you, so too would the use and development of your auric vision be expanded.
Yeah, that's interesting.
For another, it may just be that they focus upon something as simple as one of your beautiful earthly flowers. I say, find your own thing. Do not be concerned if at first you find not very much happens. This is not to be worried about. Take it slowly, slowly, and you will find that that consciousness will be raised. There are many around you who wait only for such opportunities to occur. But this is not new to you, but to some within the group, it is an exercise that should be followed. You see, once you begin to meditate, then you have control over your everyday thoughts. Your thoughts are used at your will. I have spoken on this before, have I not?
You have indeed.
How can you exercise full control if you do not know how? It must be done, and I say to you, please endeavor and stick to it.
So I wish I could make everybody here experience what I have experienced by doing that, and I can only agree with you absolutely in what you say. And I hope that each person here will experience the upliftment that I have had.
It is better that they do not go into their meditations with such thoughts of expectancy. It is much better that they develop in their own individual ways. You are, after all, unique. Therefore, so should your experiences be such. That is why I say you cannot be guided by someone else's experience. Of course, you can listen. You can listen and you can take it in, but that does not mean that is the way forward for yourself. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, I think everybody does. And I have frequently said at these meetings and to newcomers that we would never presume to say that we could train a medium. We can only offer the opportunities for their own development.
There is much spoken of training. I would rather that you all, each and every one who treads this earth plane, remain as individualized as you all are. We have people who wish to use them. How can they come close if they are using exercises to be trained? It creates blockages.
Of course.
It cannot be right. So I say, listen and look always to that individual part of yourselves, and thereby will come for individual guidances.
Am I right in thinking that you said just now there are people wishing to use them, and meaning everybody in this group?
I mean not only in this group. I speak generally of your world. Each one of you comes here not alone, not to be left to fend for yourselves. How could that be?
Yeah.
Each one, when the time is right, has helpers, has guidance at hand. It is only when you become aware of it that it can become sufficient help to you. If you do not open the door, you cannot go forward, can you?
Yeah.
And that is what, in fact, you are doing with your meditation.
So, you would agree, no doubt, if I said to everybody here that though they are individuals, they should always keep in mind that there is somebody close to them willing to help.
I say to you all, there will be throughout your lives here upon the earth many who stand close by, many who will come and go. But to each and every one of you, there is someone who remains with you throughout your lives. But although you may not be aware of them, they are your inner helpers and guidance. Can you understand?
Okay. Everybody clear on that?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can accept it without difficulty? Good.
So much could be given to help you all, if only you will open those doors.
Okay. May I ask the first question?
Oh, of course.
Okay. You did tell a lady here a couple of meetings ago, a lady who was going to take a ship on holiday, you suggested that she should not go.
Yes.
She took your advice.
Yes.
But nothing happened to the vessel, so she was wondering whether the warning was given to avoid anything untoward happening to her individually.
Of course. It was given personally to the lady. It was not meant as an action to be prevented for the vessel.
No,
that was not why it was given.
So it would have been unwise for the lady herself to have gone. And by not going, she avoided something unpleasant, did she? She has asked me these things, that's why I am asking.
Here we speak again of the fear in your lives. Why must it always be assumed that tragedies and disasters will occur when any warning is given to you? It does not necessarily mean there would have been a dreadful disaster in her life, but it could have been a preventative measure that not just keeps her safe, but happy. We have to go into something rather deeper here, so let me try to explain.
Okay.
You know you all are endowed with your free wills. It is an important part of your makeup. If I say to you, do not use something because it may break, you naturally would assume something more dramatic, would you not?
Yes, I suppose we have conditioned ourselves into that way of thinking.
Always your minds are fearful.
Yes.
Let me return to the lady. We do not speak lightly when we give advice. I don't want to put thoughts into her mind.
No.
That I do not want to do. But shall we say, if the lady has embarked upon that journey, there could have been an accident. By that I don't mean her life, but an accident, say, of slipping, I will tell her what would have happened, because obviously she needs to know. If she had traveled on that particular day, she would have slipped and she would have broken her leg.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Did that satisfy you, Sheena?
It did not mean there would be a dreadful loss of life.
No.
That is what I say to you. You people live with so much fear.
Mm-hmm.
I did worry about my friends.
Yes, perhaps I should have made it clear to you. But you see, when you gather together, when we come to give advice and guidance, we look out for those who are special, shall I say, to us, who are helpers in our work. We try to help them along life's road. I have said before, I will always try to influence you all.
You have, and we do appreciate it. And what you have told us, when you did let Lady have the warning before, I suggested to her that she would be wise to seriously consider it, because I have never known any such warning to be given lightly. And fortunately she did heed it.
I hear some of you say, why is that? Is it not interfering?
Yes,
again we come to that question. No, sometimes these things are allowed for the very reasons I have given. For the work to continue, we need to love, cherish, and try to protect you when we can.
Well, it is really lovely news for all of us to hear and to be aware of.
In an instance as this was, it is not interfering with her life pattern as such.
No. No, I quite understand.
So, therefore, we can influence and guide.
Well, I repeat, we do all feel very grateful that we are guarded to that extent.
If you would exercise with your meditation, there would be no need for me to say it in words. You would instantaneously have that knowledge, do you see, it would have come naturally to the lady that she should not go on that particular day, or you should not do that, because it comes from within.
Well, that's certainly an incentive for us all to learn meditation.
I hope it will be.
Yes, I think I'm very sure it will be. You're quite satisfied with that, Sheena.
Yes, thank you very much.
But the other question I have been asked to put to you tonight concerns the two ladies who give power to you and to your colleagues, of course, on each of these meetings. The one who is normally sitting on your left, who unfortunately is sick and not with us tonight, sits very quietly and often goes far away, I believe. The one on your right is often, well, always, I think I could say, pressurized is the word, perhaps, to make all sorts of motions with her arms and hands and body generally, which she believes is transferring power from somewhere to you. Is that so?
I know exactly what she means, but no, it is not a transference of power to me.
It isn't?
No.
No.
Let me explain a little.
Yes, we would be interested.
each of you are used, of course, within the group. This you know, I am sure.
Yes.
The lady we are speaking of is being used rather like a battery,
mm-hmm.
as you all are. Because she sits so closely to me using this instrument, she feels it a little more than perhaps the others. What she is doing is raising the vibrations with the hand and the body movements.
I see.
It is not a transference of power to me. It is helping things in general, if you like.
Yes, that's the idea. Rather clumsily.
All of you, shall we say, are keeping the battery charged. The instrument I am using being the battery, do you see?
Yes.
And each and every one of you are a lead towards the battery. The fact that she feels her arms, her body being used is good. It shows that her awareness is certainly increasing as time goes by. This lady has much to give.
Yes, she has indeed.
And it is only in recent years that she feels the full potential of what she has to give. But it is nothing unusual, I have to say.
Right.
But certainly it is not a transference of power. If anything, the transference of power would come from me, do you think?
I see. Yes, of course.
Does that make sense?
Yes, I should. Yes, it does. I should have realized that, of course. As I say, I put it rather clumsily.
Not at all. I hope that satisfies the lady.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right. Are there any other questions from that time limit? Oh, yes. Well, I will ask one on yours, Brent. An American friend has been trying to arrange for a camera, hopefully, to collect any, to us, unseen manifestations around you during your visits here. In other words, psychic photography.
Yes.
He has not continued with it tonight because the light was considered to be too bright for you. If he wishes to do that, has it got to be in a dull light like this?
Can I clarify the question?
Mm-hmm.
It's not clear to us why red light is used, but it's probably because it's the lowest of the light of the frequencies that we can see.
Yes.
But what I was intending to use is infrared light, and I was wondering whether that would be less intrusive.
Yes, I see. I think that would be acceptable. Conditions could be made right for it. I have had the question, and I will say the answer is yes, it will be all right. The only stipulation I will make is that it is not too close to me, but as far away as possible.
It's right over the other side of the room.
Could I just ask, is it is keeping the light low like it is now more of a protection for the medium, for the instrument, than it is for you? Or could you explain why that is?
It is a protection mainly for me, I must say. It is rather complicated when we come to vibrations. We are speaking of vibrations that are not known to you on Earth at this particular time. It takes much work for us to use instruments in this way. That is why it is better to have the lights dull, if you like. Because, of course, with full daylight, you know how much more energy there is within the daylight vibration, do you not?
Yes.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
That is why it is better that the lights remain dull. But I see no problem if you wish to try.
But what concerns me is that if red light energy is a possible interference, then infrared is just a bit lower, and that could also then interfere.
No, it has been used before. Do not be concerned about that. It is perfectly acceptable to me, at least.
Thank you.
We would, of course, stop all action if it did inconvenience you.
I would tell you, of course,
yes,
if there was any discomfort or I was afraid for the instrument I was using.
Thank you.
Of course, I would expect you then to stop what you were doing.
We would do instantly.
I know I can trust you to take my advice and listen to me.
Well, we would certainly not work except under that stipulation.
Yes. I will let you know as soon as I come whether things are comfortable. Then if they are not, then I will ask you to abandon the idea.
Certainly. That's all right, Brent.
Fine, thank
but
you.
But I don't think there should be a big problem.
Thank you very much for your help.
I have another question, but it's on a completely different subject.
Mm-hmm.
Because George is not here, I'll ask the historical question.
Right.
It just so happened that there was a feature on the television last night about the Sphinx in Egypt. The Sphinx lies in the middle of pyramids, and the Egyptologists believe that the Sphinx was made at the same time as the pyramid, about 4,500 BC or something like that. But there was a claim that the Sphinx was actually made possibly 5,000 years prior to the pyramids. I wonder if there's anything you could say to verify that statement.
Yes, I think we have spoken a little on the subject before. What the pyramids were, let me speak about the subject you have raised. Indeed, the Sphinx was earlier in time. It was a development that was made prior to the pyramids, as you call them. I believe I have said to you they were actually directional horses, have I not?
Yes.
Yes, they were. The Sphinx, let me go back to the civilizations that existed then. And I remember that I too will bring someone to speak to you on the subject who has more knowledge and can give you dates and facts.
Okay.
But I can tell you it is much older in your time. It was built in the same way as the pyramids were, by a civilization with much greater and extended knowledge. The Sphinx was in fact erected, if you like, rather like you erect monuments today. It was, in fact, built, if you like, to celebrate the existence of that civilization and the civilizations before. It rather is like a badge that you wear, if you like, to say, this is what I am, this is where we've been. Are you following me?
Yes.
So, if you like, it was the beginning of much knowledge. It was something that was achieved because they wanted to show how much knowledge they actually had. It was a monument to that civilization. There is no great mystery to this thing. That is all it was. It was meant to be a monument to a great civilization. As I say, in the way you would build monuments to people who have been brave, or something that is built, let me say, like the monument in your country, America, that was given by the French people.
Yes.
What is that?
Statue of Liberty.
Yes. What do you think people in 5,000 years' time will say about it? Will they not look and say, what a magnificent thing? What did they use this for? Do you see?
Yes, we
see. It is not used for anything. It is there.
Mm-hmm.
It exists, but it is nothing special.
Mm.
And I say that is why the Sphinx originally was put there. I know much is spoken of it. Always you earth people like your mysteries, do you know?
Yes, the archaeologists particularly. They're up in arms now about the new theory, aren't they, Brent?
Don't put them down. It gives them pleasure. It gives them pleasure.
Yes,
but
it does indeed.
There are no mysteries. The pyramids now are a different story.
Yes.
They were used. They were directional forces,
mm-hmm.
and were used for space travelers, as I have already said.
Yes, I suppose the Sphinx would be on a par with Cleopatra's needles, so the two of those, Brent, aren't they?
Yes.
One in London and one in the USA, I think.
Is that helpful to you?
Yes. That's a most interesting answer. Thank you, Sandra.
You must remember the Egyptian civilization had a very deep-rooted feeling for all forms of cats. Can you see the association?
So the Sphinx was based on their feeling of the cats being immortal.
It was, yes. It was like a religious thing for them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the word religion, as you know.
No.
But that is as close as I can come to.
I was going to ask why they chose that particular effigy. So it was based on their worship of cats. Well, that's interesting,
it
too.
It is no different than other civilizations.
No.
You had your American Indians with their buffaloes.
Yes.
You have your Indian race who worship the cattle. It is no different.
No.
It is a form of their religions.
It is a form of worship, yes. And it's very interesting, thank you.
Hope that is helpful.
Indeed it is. As I was watching the documentary as well, and I was trying to imagine the consternation among all the archaeologists if they're proved wrong in their previous assumptions, as they will be, no doubt.
I believe they are used to having their ideas and their data changed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that is unusual.
Oh, yeah. They still don't like it.
No. but it must be so. It is good that these people look in to your past, if you like. What is your future without the past?
No.
You are on an ever-ending cycle.
Try it.
If there is no beginning and no end, then you see all must join together.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for all that. Any more questions for sentiment?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Who's that?
Can I ask
Who is it?
Debbie.
Debbie, yes, Debbie.
Can I ask, is there such a thing as human combustion? Or is it just the...
Yes, I have heard of this. I really cannot speak too much on this matter. I think you have to go to the energies of the human being, but perhaps I can come back to that for you.
Yes, that's usually associated with poltergeist activity, isn't it?
There's been quite a lot of talk about it.
Mm-hmm. That was
my question.
Yeah. I will say just this to you. If you are all energy, I need to go a little deeper, please. If you are all energy, you are ever moving. Like the speed of light, which is an energy, which is fast moving. Thereby, there are energies within the human body, which too are speeded up. There are many reasons and many conditions for this. It is an energy which is not known to you, but it is within each and every one of you. If you can imagine the power of energies gathering in force, can you imagine? You have to use your vision for what I am trying to say to you. Within the body, energies gather. They twist and turn and bubble up almost like a volcano. That is why these people, this combustion you speak of, is so puzzling, because it comes from within, not without. Is this difficult for you to understand? It is an energy which is of such high degree that it is almost like an inner explosion. Energy so great that it burns from within. That is why it is puzzling to your police, to your scientists, because it is something they cannot fully understand as yet. Because they do not understand the real makeup of the human form.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This energy we call Pira. It is not something that is normal. It is not widespread. But I tell you, here, it is known as era energy.
As? It is known as?
Era energy.
Come.
Note that, please, because it is something that will become known eventually.
Mm-hmm. But there is no need for anybody here to be concerned that it might happen to them.
It happens, but let me say, it is not something that will happen just like that.
No.
There are many, many reasons which I will not go into now. It is something more than just human living. I don't wish to go into it now, but perhaps I will come back to it on another occasion.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
I'm satisfied with that, Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. You had something else to say, I think.
I have to say, you are all energy, living energies. And as true, your human forms fail with disease, with bitterness, with fear. So too is it possible for all these things to go deeply within, rather than to come outwards, to show themselves outwardly. Can you see?
It's rather like the internal tumult preceding the eruption of a volcano, I would think.
It is like, let us take the element of gas. If you blocked off gas both ends, it has to go somewhere, does it not? It would build up, and what would happen? There would be an inner explosion. Can you see? That is a very, very simple equation.
Mm-hmm.
But it is as simply as I can put it for you.
Repressed energy.
Yes, very much so. But energy you do not know of, but I have said to you, we call pure energy.
Thank you.
Is that, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Is there something within the human being which attracts a poltergeist to his or her home? Or is it something external?
I would say to you, mainly, it is the attraction from another human being. It is attracted by negative forces within the home or wherever. Poltergeists are negative forces at work. Another reason for your meditations.
Cool.
To help that higher aspect of yourselves to come forward. To reach towards that purity that each soul should be. And if you try, can be attained. This time, we must leave it there. I am overwhelmed by the love and the welcome that you have shown to me again. I leave you all with my love and those blessings from all who surround you.